Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining us today. It's great to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already today, well, you know that makes you a highly intelligent individual, just like our highly intelligent friend Dave Anderson. Dave is the president of Dave Anderson's Learn to Lead, and LearnToLead.com is his website, which is a cutting-edge site that provides free training resources to people in all around the world. Actually, Dave is a former business manager, business owner himself, a highly successful entrepreneur. He's the author of Up Your Business and the new book I'm holding in my hand, If You Don't Make Waves, You'll Drown. Dave, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks for having me. Good morning.
It's all good. Hello. It's good. Always good to have you back on the show. Dave, one of the things that I want you to do first, because I want to talk a little bit about Chapter 3 in a second. Don't confuse the scoreboard for the game. I want you to explain to us what you mean by that. But before we do that, I want you to help the audience understand why you felt it was important to talk about, not only to talk about, but to write a book about how political correctness is hurting the effectiveness of managers.
Sure. You know, I was asked this question a while back. Someone said, what was your motivation for writing the book? And I said, well, actually, it was disgust. disgust can be a pretty good motivator, you know, when you get disgusted with things. Well, and here's where the disgust came from, Jim. I consult with a lot of organizations. And over the years, as I go into these organizations and I see supervisors less and less willing to hold people accountable, more willing to try to treat everyone just alike rather than to give the best performers what they earn and deserve, as I see them doing more of what's easy or cheap or popular or convenient instead of what's right. And to see them weakening their business cultures and watering it down because you've got this political correctness in society. And see, business trends always follow society trends. Mm-hmm. So as society, you know, becomes more politically correct, which I think most of us would agree over the years that's what's happened, well, that carries right over into your business. And so we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to say anything that might hurt their feelings. We think we have to treat everybody alike. We're walking on eggshells. Well, when you do this in business, it just devastates the high performance, you know, psyche that you need to run a successful enterprise. And so I said, hey, you know, this has gone too far. And I put together 10 strategies to fight against and reverse the trend of this political correctness in business. But the disgust of what was happening to businesses was really my motivation for doing so.
Well, how much of that is fear in terms of the political correctness, the failure to seek excellence, the failure to demand excellence? How much of that on the manager's part do you think is fear?
Well, you know, I think fear has a lot to do with it in many regards. Of course, fear of failing is a big one. Let's play it safe. That way, you know, if we don't hit or if we at least get close to our numbers, we won't look too bad.
Isn't that ironic, though, that the truth is political correctness doesn't solve fear of failure. It actually ensures failure.
Oh, it does ensure it. It absolutely does. Fear of making someone mad, fear of hurting someone's feelings, fear of excluding someone and making them feel
or be sued, being
out.
Sued.
Are being sued, and that's a big one. And that's why in Chapter 1, you know, I talk about the importance of, first of all, as a business owner, as a business leader, you've really got to clearly define what you expect in the first place. You know, we get in trouble when we try to hold people accountable for things we never established up front. And, you know, accountability is impossible without clarity. And so I go over 24 sample expectations, performance and behavioral expectations. I said, look, you got to make very clear, especially in today's age, what you expect from people. Put it in writing. Make it clear. Communicate it all the time. You've got to eliminate the gray areas. You've got to take away your excuse of ignorance, you know, to where they can't say, well, I didn't know, Jim. You didn't tell me. You didn't say that's what was important. And you've got to, as a leader, you've got to do your job. Mm-hmm. And you've got to eliminate that gray area and that excuse of ignorance by first clearly defining what you expect.
So you think maybe we could avoid some of the complications of political correctness by just not being lazy in our management style, making sure that we dot the I's, cross the T's, make sure everyone knows exactly what's expected of them, hold them accountable for that, document it when they don't and when they do, and then when they have to be fired if they don't, you've got it on paper.
Absolutely, and being lazy is a big part of it, and we can reverse a lot of this by going back and doing our job and doing what we're supposed to do, and as you say, dotting the I's and crossing the T's. And you know what? It takes the emotion out of it, because you have standards. They were violated.
That's right. Yeah, and everybody understands, and I'll tell you, it makes a difference. You know, Dave, when we come back, I want to ask you how we confuse scoreboard for the game.
Sure.
And we're going to do that right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Here's Joe Cocker to take us out. Back, it's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you can. Use it to your advantage. It'll help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And the reason I know that is because if you are able to go back and listen, if you're listening now and can go back, hopefully, and listen again, because some of the stuff that Dave Anderson talks about, it's a good idea to go back and let him repeat it to you over and over again. You can do that at our site, because we record and preserve all of these things that our Brain Trust members say, and a couple of things that I say for your use and for your benefit, and it's all free thanks to our corporate partners. Dave Anderson is our guest, as I said, and he's the author of the outstanding new book, If You Don't Make Waves, You'll Drown. And Dave, I was going to ask you about Chapter 3. The title of Chapter 3 is Don't Confuse the Scoreboard for the Game. Now, as I was looking at that chapter, you know, I couldn't help but think about the people who are in competitive situations, golfers and teams that get a lead, and they start playing to protect the lead rather than to win.
Yes.
And I got to thinking about it. That was my first thought when I read that chapter, when I read the title of the chapter, I should say.
Well, you know, I don't think there's anything more dangerous other than outright failure than being successful without being resolutely clear as to why you're successful. And when I talk about don't confuse the scoreboard for the game, what I ask leaders to do is take a good look at your people, for instance, your managers. And what we tend to do is if they're getting results, we kind of turn a blind eye, we applaud, we pat them on the back, and just keep doing whatever you're doing, you know, because the scoreboard's lighting up, it's looking great. But what I caution is that you have to pay attention to the game, because how they're getting the results is going to determine ultimately where you're headed. The how is where you're headed. For instance, if you have a person that's getting results because they're a tyrant, and they get fear-based adrenaline rushes out of people every once in a while, and they can squeeze out the numbers, they can put up the numbers, the scoreboard might look good for now, but where do you think that guy's headed? Where do you think the team is headed? He's going to run people off. Morale's going to be low. He's probably going to burn out. Or another situation, you have someone that's getting great results, but it's because they never take a day off. They never leave the business. Mm-hmm. They're there every shift. Well, the scoreboard looks good. Let's applaud the scoreboard, but you better take a look at the game, because this person hasn't built a team. They have to make every decision themselves. Everyone is so dependent on this person that when they're gone, the rest of the team is basically immobilized.
Right.
This how he's getting it done should concern us, because we can't sustain our success in that type of a situation. So we look at how they're getting the results, so we can get in there and coach them and make sure they're getting them the right way.
Do you think this is news, this information that you're giving us right now, do you you and I are we're products of the 20th century, originally, at least when I was a puppet. I think you're probably with the same situation.
Sure.
Our mentors, the people that we grew up, whose need we learned at, that might even if they were nice guys, that might have seemed a little strange to them, because back in the earlier part of the 20th century, I say earlier part, but back about 30 or 40 or so years ago,
right?
You could do all those things that you talked about. Many people did those things, and they were successful, and they continue to be successful. So I guess my point is, do you think this is what you just said is much more important to know in the 21st century than it was in the 20th century?
Well, I do, because I think things change more quickly today, and you have to change your styles more quickly. You have to change your tactics more quickly, and some of the old school thinking is still pretty good in some areas, but some of it will get you into trouble, especially when you're trying to relate and communicate to today's employees.
The dominator model.
Yeah, absolutely.
The dominator model has to be used, if it's used at all, it has to be used very judiciously, doesn't it, in the 21st century?
It really does. And another, another area here that you want to look at, and this bruises some people's egos, but you have to ask yourself, are we getting results because we just happen to be in the right place at the right time? We have a product that is so hot that it literally sells itself, because mm-hmm. so often, we mistake a bull market for brains, and we think that
because we're so smart.
That's right, and we get lazy, and we get away from our discipline, and
yep.
we stop training people, and we stop making the big decisions, and pretty soon we end up with this dip. And I'll tell you what, a downturn always exposes the sins of the good times.
That's right.
When that downturn comes, it'll show you where you got lazy, where you got off track. And
well,
so
that's the reason why I encourage people, when things do slow down a little bit, back when we had the recession and we had the slow time in 01, 02, and part of 03, I encourage people to focus on fundamentals. I said,
yeah.
if you can learn how to operate now, because when things get revved up again, you're going to be so smart, you're going to be so busy, you're not going to be able to focus on fundamentals. And so if you don't install those now, when you have the time, even though you might not feel, too excited about doing it, if you'll do it now, those systems will serve you well when you think you're so smart.
Absolutely. Getting back to the fundamentals, developing yourself in the downtimes is one of the best things you can do when things turn slow. And everything I just said about looking at your employees applies to the leaders themselves. Leaders need to look at themselves and honestly say, how am I getting results? Not just that I am getting them, but how am I getting them? Where am I headed with this type of management style? Are there some adjustments that I need to make?
Well, another thing, and you alluded to this earlier, Dave, and that is what I call being successful without creating a casualty list.
Yes, yes.
And that happens. But, I think that not that people won't continue to try to rough up their folks and to use them to their advantage, but I think the way the marketplace is going, I think that's going to solve itself. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you about that and see what you think about it. Not that we can take the heat off of ourselves, folks, in managing our people, but I think that these younger generations are not going to let you do that. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Stranded again, so off I ran. My young world crashing around me.
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Dave Anderson is our guest. He's the author of If You Don't Make Waves, You'll Drown, as well as Up Your Business, 7 Steps to Fix, Build, or Stretch Your Organization. Dave, give us the website. Tell us how we can find your books.
Yes, it's www.learntolead.com. Just spell it out like it sounds, learntolead.com. You can also get the books at Barnes & Noble, Borders, Amazon. It's fairly widely available right now, Jim.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Check that out, folks. And, the thing that I think I like about your new book, Dave, is it helps us deal with the politically correct world that we find ourselves in.
Yes.
Without creating a casualty list, and with the performance, being able to get the performance done. I want to come to that in a second, but I want to ask you the new generation, the younger generation. I've done quite a few shows. I've got a couple of Brain Trust members who are very astute in understanding the younger generations, the ones behind the baby boomers, our generation.
Sure.
And they point out some interesting things about those folks. And you know, mine and your generation, when our bosses told us to start stacking, we said, "How high?"
That's right.
And we just started stacking, basically. We didn't ask a lot of questions back in those days, did we?
No, we didn't.
Now they ask a lot of questions, don't they, young kids?
Yeah, they do. You know, this is why it's so important to, especially if you're our age, to adapt. You've got to be able to adapt your management style, your leadership style, to fit the times, to fit the person. You know, the old, quite frankly, Jim, the old command and control, do it my way or the highway type of management style. Actually, that stuff was stupid 25 years ago, but you could get away with it.
But you could get away with it.
People had fewer options. Mm-hmm. That's not the case today. This is the age of the free agent. People are much more willing to change jobs and to do so more often. They're much more, quite frankly, willing to tell you to stick it.
And that's only going to increase as people are able to migrate all of their benefits with them wherever they go, which is what's going to happen completely in the 21st century. As that happens, then that ability to move around will become a lot more prevalent.
Well, it sure will. And if you have managers, or if you yourself really don't understand this and make adjustments, then you're going to have very high turnover in your organization. I believe the number one cause of turnover today in most organizations is a lousy boss.
Yeah.
And people just aren't staying with it like they used to. And so you've really got to sharpen up your skills.
Now, if you've got managers out there who are saying, it's just too complicated dealing with people these days. All this political correctness and being afraid to demand things of people, being worried about how can I demand accountability for these folks. You say that it can still be done, don't you?
Well, sure. You know, and you touched on it earlier. Some of us have gotten a little lazy. You know, we've been so used to giving threatening speeches and saying things and having it done that we've got to get back to some fundamentals. Holding people accountable doesn't mean you have to be a jerk. It starts with doing what I said earlier and clearly defining what you expect, performance-wise and behavior-wise. I mean, that you owe that to people. Let them know exactly what's expected. And then giving them honest feedback. When they're doing well, you've got to let them know. When they're off track, you've got to let them know. Giving them more of what they earn and deserve individually instead of everything equally, across the board. And just getting back to really leading honestly. They know where you stand and where they stand.
And see, I like that word. I like the fact that you use the word lead.
Yes.
Because see, I think if you manage people this way, then you just become a commodity.
Well,
but
true.
If you lead people the way Dave's talking about, if you add that extra courage and that extra attitude of caring about the team and about the folks involved, and you are able to manage effectively without creating a casualty list, I think managers will see people come and go. Successful managers will see people come and go. Successful leaders will keep people. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of people today, Jim, they overmanage and they underlead. They're very heavy on systems and controls and budgets and paperwork and schedules, and they're not nearly focused enough on the human element, on really leading them. You know, you manage from the head, you lead from the heart, and you've got to have a balance of the two. Or you're not going mm-hmm. to connect with and get the best from your people.
Absolutely. Dave, I got 20 seconds. Last thoughts.
You know, the last thoughts is I think a lot of leaders today, Jim, need to get back to leading again. I think a lot of them have immersed themselves in the paperwork part of their job. They need to get back to the people work part, clearly establish what they stand for, what they're not willing to stand for. That's a good place to start, and it's a good time of the year to redefine your expectations.
Well said. Give us the website one more time.
LearnToLead.com. Just spell it out like it sounds.
And the new book is If You Don't Make Waves, You'll Drown, and the other book, Up Your Business. Both are available at that website and wherever books are sold. Hey, Dave, thanks for being here. Good job and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. My
pleasure.
We'll see you. Thank you, Jim.
Next
Bye-bye.
Time. Dave Anderson, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.